Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 30th day of August 2025. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, and here in the room. I'm glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Praise God for his merciful kindness and his tender love and compassion to each one. And praise God that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. And who would like to open this service with prayer? Please feel free.
If we can bow our heads and our knees as possible as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace in each home, in each habitation, Father, from the smallest child to all that are in the home, Father, we pray and we thank you for being such a merciful Savior that you can lift our eyes and our faces towards heaven, that even though whatever it is that happening in our surrounding, it is written, and you give us comfort to be able to hold on to your merit, Father Jesus, that we may be able to carry our burdens directly to the throne of grace and plead our cases. For there is a high priest in the most holy place where we can carry everything. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you consider us just to be able to see that there's a seed that you have prophesied that will be able to follow you wherever it is that you may go. Be with each and every one, Father. Be with the little ones. Be with those that are in bereavement, those that are going through any kind of maladies, Father. We are thankful, but we also have a great physician that he knows every cell in our bodies, that he can be able to bring about a new creature. We are so thankful, Father, and privileged, dear Lord, that you make us to come your children. And we would like to make our call in our election sure. Be, dear Lord, with our dear brother, that he may continue, Father Jesus, to give the message that we all need and all we need to hear. And also pray, dear Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may be able to bring it home into our heart as a seed planted, and may you water it also, Father, through your power. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcomings. Forgive us for our unchristlike spirit, Father Jesus. We plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please bless our gathering and also bless those that are far, Father Jesus. May you also unite them through your Spirit. It's my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're continuing in our study book, Christ Object Lessons. We're in the last chapter, chapter 29, titled To Meet the Bridegroom. And we got down about a third of the way on page 418 to the paragraph that begins, "There are many from whom hope has departed." So that's where we'll pick it up. But the last thing that we were discussing is that God not only requires good deeds to be done to others, not only requires tithes and offerings and gifts, but he also requires our cheerful countenance, our hopeful words, and our interaction with humanity. So we should come close to others, not just with a kind handshake or with materials that they need or with the truth from the scriptures. But we also need to greet them with a cheerful countenance. And that means we need to keep our emotions in check. We need to be the master of our emotions instead of allowing the emotions to be the masters of us. So that's where we ended, and we're now going to pick it up at this new paragraph. There are many from whom hope has departed. Bring back the sunshine to them. Many have lost their courage. Speak to them words of cheer. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. Upon many is a soul sickness which no earthly balm can reach, nor physician heal. Pray for these souls. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them that there is a balm in Gilead and a physician there. So in order to know whether an individual is going through hopeless despair, we would need to come close to them, to engage them in conversation, to ask them, how are you really? Because a lot of people put on a front. They don't want others to know what's really going on in their heart. And so they put on a facade of being okay. And so you need to kind of spend time with them so that you can see through that facade and be able to read their heart and to help them. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Life is a blessing, a universal blessing, pouring forth its treasures in a world unthankful, unholy, demoralized. So it is with the light of the Sun of Righteousness. The whole earth, wrapped as it is in the darkness of sin and sorrow and pain, is to be lighted with the knowledge of God's love. From no sect, rank, or class of people is the light shining from heaven's throne to be excluded.
Amen. Amen. So the light from God, as is shown in his word through the face of Jesus Christ, is a universal blessing. And that means every single person in the world deserves to have light come to them. So there is no sect or rank or class of people that's to be excluded from the gospel reaching them. So the drunkards are to have it. The drug addicts are to have it. Homosexuals are to have it. Spiritualists are to have the light shine from God upon them. And so our mission work is not just for Adventists or for other members of other churches. It's for everyone in the world, especially for those who may appear to be hopeless. They need the light of the knowledge of God's infinite love brought to their attention. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Is it possible to say something?
Yes, go right ahead.
Because I didn't know if we were just going to keep reading and we cannot share something. So, because this brings, to my mind, in these two joint paragraphs together, there's something that comes to my mind, with those that have, you know, a need to know that there is, you know, healing in Christ. There is a physician we have. And then there are those that are so beat down from this world also. In both instances, even as it was mentioned, it seemed hard for them to even want to speak and to say anything about it. I think that that is a time also where, as Christians and servants of the Lord, we too need to have that discernment and the courage to go forward and even ask them, "Hey, how you doing? Seem a little down. What's going on?" And be able to open that door that may seem like it's so shut because of all they're going through, and open that door a crack and let some light in from the Lord that they desperately need, even if they don't think they need it. They need it, because every flower, every plant needs a little light. And without that light, most plants will just wither and die. And the word of the Lord is the water that they need to help grow back what might be left, to pick it in and get it started and things like that. It also brings to my mind that there are those times where we may know someone and may not have seen them for some time, and the opportunity is there to say something because we can see things are not quite right. And this is where also our courage and selflessness must come in. We must be willing, even though we haven't talked to that person for a while, or maybe even had a little falling out, we have to have courage for Christ's sake. We have to put ourselves aside for the sake of that dear soul, because who is to know if the word that we give in season at that time may be exactly what they needed to hear, even though they might be surprised of where it came from, because they may remember, "Whoa, I had quite the falling out with this individual, and look at that. They're coming to me in peace. They're coming to me in comfort. I'm melting. I'm going to listen." So I think that both of those paragraphs that are there right now kind of speak to that for me like that, and for us as Christians to be bold and be courageous and put aside self and do those things and use the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives us and push back the fear that tries to creep up on us and do those things that are necessary by God's grace, because souls are at stake and they are priceless.
Amen. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
The message of hope and mercy is to be carried to the ends of the earth. Whosoever will may reach forth and take hold of God's strength and make peace with him, and he shall make peace. No longer are the heathen to be wrapped in midnight darkness. The gloom is to disappear before the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness. The powers of hell has been overcome.
Amen. And praise God that the powers of hell have been overcome. The devil's a defeated foe, even though he's making it appear he's not defeated. Any comments or thoughts before we move on? Who would like to read this paragraph?
But can impart that which he himself has not received. In the work of God, humanity can originate nothing. No man can by his own effort make himself a light bearer for God. It was the golden oil emptied by the heavenly messengers into the golden tubes to be conducted from the golden bowl into the lamps of the sanctuary that produced a continuous bright and shining light. It is the love of God continually transferred to man that enables him to impart light into the hearts of all who are united to God by faith. The golden oil of love flows freely to shine out again in good works, in real heartfelt service for God.
Amen. Amen. So no one can become a light bearer by themselves. No amount of effort can make us become a light bearer for God. And that's important to realize. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. We may know the truth, but that doesn't make us a light bearer for God. We may memorize scripture. We may be able to quote it verbatim, but that still doesn't make us a light bearer for God. And there's ministries out there who want to be the center of attraction for the work of God. And that's an indication that God is not there making them a light bearer. All flesh is grass. The grass withereth. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. So we of ourselves are nothing. We have to be connected with Christ in order to become a light bearer for God. Now it's interesting. The rest of the paragraph here brings up Zechariah. It brings up the two olive trees and the golden oil coming from them into a golden bowl. And from the golden bowl, it goes to each lamp that is to keep it shining bright. So who's the two olive trees? You remember?
The testimony of the Lord, the New and Old Testament.
Amen. The Old and the New Testament are the two olive trees that stand on either side of the throne, right? And from these olive trees comes golden oil. And this golden oil goes into golden tubes, which goes to the golden bowl, and from the golden bowl, it then flows to the lamps of the sanctuary. And the oil kept the light at the end of the lamp continuously burning bright. So we're to let our light shine. Our light comes from the Word of God, the lamp. And the oil that keeps our light glowing is the love of God. So to everyone who is united to God by faith, receives this golden oil of love that comes from the Word of God, that flows to us through the operation of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And so we can't of ourselves keep our light burning, because if there's no oil, then there's no light. So we have to connect ourselves with God by faith, who will then send his Holy Spirit to us. And it is through the influence of the Spirit upon our hearts that we're enabled to continuously shine a bright light to others. But this bright light is not just truth. It is the love of God. So the Spirit, the oil, brings to us the love of God. That allows our light to shine. But if we don't have the love of God in our hearts for others, then we're not shining as bright as we could. In fact, we're not shining bright at all, because we don't have the oil to shine. That's why love is mixed with justice. Love is mixed with mercy. Love has to be combined with the truth in order to reveal God to others. Yeah, amen. Comment in the room says, not even Lucifer. Let me back up here. Not even Lucifer was a light bearer of his own. When he tried to be, he was kicked out. Amen. And a question. When you find yourself beginning to lose faith, then what? Go back to the beginning. Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. So you have to go back and establish a firmer connection, union with Christ. And another question says, how is the light of God shine forth to others? In a practical religion. Deeds of kindness, deeds of love, sharing with them the love of God, sharing with them the truth of the word. It's through service, ministering to others, praying for others. Any other thoughts or comments?
We have a neighbor who likes to cook, and our neighbor many times will bring over something that they have cooked and share it with us. To me, that is sharing love, because it opens up the door of conversation. When that door is opened up, the Holy Spirit can take control of any conversation if you're connected with God and use the words that are needed to reveal God to that neighbor. But that neighbor in the first place showed love, which is the beginning.
Amen. Amen. So self has to die because self centers around itself, right? So self has to die so that you can begin thinking and helping others. So again, all flesh is grass. Without Christ, we're worthless. But connected with Christ, we're now valuable, infinitely valuable. Christ makes the difference. And if Christ is in your heart, then the love of God will be continually manifested through you to others. So when you discover the truth in the Bible, was it through your own wisdom that you discovered it?
No, it wasn't your own wisdom. It was God's wisdom in the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you through the Bible.
Amen. Amen, dear sister. It wasn't our own wisdom that understood the scriptures. It was the wisdom of God through the Spirit being imparted to us that opened up our understanding and allowed us to see the truth. So we need to recognize that we can originate nothing. So it wasn't our own wisdom, our own cleverness, our own discernment that discovered the truth. It was God's discernment, His wisdom, His knowledge and understanding imparted to us that allowed us to comprehend the truth. So then there's nothing that we can glory about because everything that we are, that we understand of the Word comes from God. And so God gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. If we share the truth with others and they're one to God, we didn't make ourselves a light bearer. God used us as a light bearer to reach them. We didn't of our own spirit impress the truth upon their hearts. It was the Spirit of God that impressed the truth upon their hearts. It was God that gave them wisdom to understand the truth that we were speaking to them or sharing with them. So their conversion was not from ourselves. It was from God. So God gets all the glory for that person being converted who we shared the truth with. Now, we had a part to play. God used us to reach that individual. We could have said no, but we agreed to go and share the truth with that individual. So we have a part in their conversion, in their salvation. But their salvation didn't come from us. It came from God. So we're co-laborers with God in seeking to save the lost. But it's God who gets all the glory. And we can share in that glory. But the glory doesn't come from us. So we have an active part, but any positive that comes from it is from God. And we share in that positiveness. So So if self is hid in Christ, then we can glory in Christ. We can be happy and joyful that God has used us in reaching others and bringing conversion to others. But we take a back seat. God is in the forefront. God is to be ahead of us, and God is also to bring up the rear, so that humanity is hid in God. And as long as we are hid in God, then self is not seen. Self can't reach out there and discolor or tamper with or bring about disaster to the work and cause of God in the earth. But so often, individuals become full of themselves. Well, God can't finish his work without me. Or if it wasn't for what I did, this whole evangelistic effort would have been a failure. We have to keep self hid in Christ Jesus. If it wasn't for Christ, the whole thing would have been a disaster. If it wasn't for what Christ did, the whole thing would have been a disaster. We need to keep self hid in Christ Jesus. And then everything will work out for the best and the greatest, with God getting the glory. Any thoughts, comments, or questions, dear one?
There was a, I'm not sure since Sister Shaka's on the phone that she can see what is written in the room. And I just wanted to let her know that Sister Rose put a welcome, said, welcome, dear Sister Shaka. So glad you are here with us all. Welcome back.
Welcome. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Rose. And we're glad you're here, Sister Shaka. We missed you.
So, thank you very much. Likewise. Thank you.
And, any other thoughts or comments, Jeremy? Well, let's dwell a little more on this theme. When you wake up in the morning, did you wake up of your own power?
No.
Yeah, the answer is no. God gave you life so that you would wake up. Sister Chaka, do you want to say something?
It's hard, it looks like, for the angelical world to believe that can stop sinning. It's hard for the angelical Christian world to really believe that they don't believe that you could ever stop. They don't.
That's true. Brother Rudy, would you like to say something?
Yes. I'm traveling through everything that's being said and being shared. And it took me back in to the period of the disciples. And I wondered of what they saw in their Lord when he prayed to his father. And among the times that they shared this image of him praying to his father, praying for strength, praying for guidance, and he is the Son of God. I think in some way he's trying to let us know what is our manner as believers supposed to do to hear the command and the messages that God aligns to each one of us. It is amazing to know that they were so delighted in seeing their Lord praying, and they requested, "Lord, teach us to pray." And somehow they realized that they need the power of the Spirit. And the blessing of God to be able to take the journey that the Lord was placing in their hands. And they knew that they could not do this alone. They knew that they needed help as normal mortals. And by seeing the vision of this, they requested, "Lord, teach us to pray." And when we heard the prayer that the Lord gave them, it also gave us a truth, the way that he placed the prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven," continued the Lord's prayer. I think it's a light for each of us to remember this scenery that can strengthen our walk or journey and be a light upon the path that the Lord has set us on. And remember that we cannot do it alone.
There is a thought that comes to my mind in this reference concerning prayer also, and the great necessity of it in our lives. It's like breathing. But the thought that came to my mind also is like, prayer is that oxygen of life to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes down like a fire to fill us and empower us to do the work for the Lord. Yet, when we look at that situation, even scientifically, without oxygen, there is no fire. You cannot have build any fire if there's no oxygen there to feed it. So I look at it like our prayers are like that oxygen to the Lord asking for what we need. And when the Holy Spirit is given for us to be strengthened to do those things, He's empowered by God's grace with the oxygen of prayer that we have sent up. But if we do not have a prayer life that equates to the kind of fire that we need to burn for the work that we need to get done, we stifle our walk in that way, and we limit God's illimitable ability to really help us do those things. So prayer is so exceedingly important, so important for the Christian life.
Amen and amen. You know, when Christ told the disciples how to pray, He said, after this manner. So it wasn't that He gave them the words that they were to repeat, but He gave them the manner of their prayers. And when you look at how the prayer was constructed, God was acknowledged first. His kingdom and the spreading of His truth came next. Then self entered in. Give us this day our daily bread. And then forgiveness of sin as we forgive others was next. Then towards the end, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So there is the overcoming of sin. So, Lord, forgive us our sins. Lord, help us not to continue sinning. We need Your grace and strength to avoid it, to overcome it. And then the prayer ends with giving God glory once again. So yeah, it's a model. Amen. So that's how we're to construct our prayers. It's a model. So God comes first. His cause comes next. All before we get to our needs. And then part of that prayer deals with forgiving our sins as we forgive others. So it brings in a relationship between us and others. And then the next part is help us not continuing to sin. Help us to overcome. And then the prayer ends with giving glory to God again. So even the prayer helps self to be hid in God. He comes first. He also brings up the last. So we're in the middle. God is all around us. Even the prayer brings that out. But if self reigns, we come first. God's in the middle. We're at the end. Just the opposite of how it should be. Yeah, amen. Comment says, it helps us also to practice proper humility, too. Yeah, and that's the first part of the prayer. Thy will be done, not our will. So there's humility. Any other thoughts or comments?
God knows what we need before we even ask. And He's listening. He doesn't shut His ears off to our pleas or our helplessness. And a lot of times before we even pray, he's already answered and has done what we need. And praise God for that, that he not only listens, but that he's aware of everything that goes on in our life. And praise God for that.
I agree with you, my twin. It goes so deep that we can look back right into the prayer given and see the light, the fire, the spirit that it carries. And we don't want to be away from what we see or what we feel that becomes, as you say, a model for us to continue and make our prayers be alike, a liking to the first prayer that the Lord gave the disciples. Because it shows us the way. He opened the door for us to see the way and how we are supposed to walk. And that is the message. We need that. If we don't have it, we'll be lost.
Very true. Comment in the room says, prayer seems to be tightly knit to true faith in Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're a true Christian, you will be praying because that's the mode of communication between you and God, between you and Christ, between you and the Spirit. That's prayer. So if you are accepting Christ or have accepted Christ as your Savior, you're going to want to talk to him. That's where prayer comes in.
I need to say something about music. Before I knew how to pray, I knew how to sing. And my parents taught me the song, Jesus Loves Me. And I was told that I used to sing that when I was about, between the ages of 2 and 3. I could sing Jesus Loves Me, which I did a lot. But that song that you're singing is like a prayer. And if you're too young in mind to understand who Jesus and God is, teaching your children how to sing Jesus Loves Me is a very valuable thing to do for your children or for anybody at that point.
So true, so true. And also, in our prayers, we must always ask the Lord to give us a praying desire, a praying communication, a praying need to convey what we feel and what we experience, that sometimes we cannot acknowledge why do we have these different manner that comes into us And that's when we cry out, Lord, how many of us really cry out, Lord, how many of us know how much we need the Lord to cry out to Him? Like the thief on the cross, in a moment of seeing the Lord and feeling His presence of holiness, cry out, Lord, remember me when you return to paradise. There we see a sinner that received the opportunity of seeing his Lord being crucified, and yet he knew somehow within himself that the power of the Lord wasn't crucified. His humanity was crucified, but the Lord was not crucified. How did he reach to such a deep conclusion to utter, Lord, remember me? Then he was actually speaking of future incident that is going to take place, and he was up also to die, and yet there were no fear in him of dying as much as the desire to plead to his Lord to remember him. Let us think of that moment. Let us think of the sinner that was beside the Lord and the crucifixion.
A little more about prayer. You mentioned the thief on the cross. When he recognized that Jesus was his Lord, he didn't start out talking to him, you know, you deserve all the glory, your kingdom deserves to spread around the world, and finally get to his need, Lord, remember me when you come. He went directly to the need of his heart at that moment in time. So when we're talking about praying to God, we can pray to him at any moment of any day, of any time, and bring before him the need of that moment. But when we have our morning or evening time for prayer, then we can follow that more formatted model of praying. So we don't have to follow the model every time we pray to God throughout the day, because God knows our heart. He knows exactly our need. And he invites us to come to him with our need at any moment. Christ makes that possible through his sacrifice. We have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace at any moment and present before God our need of help. But when we have a time set for our morning, noon, or evening prayers, then we follow that more formatted model for praying. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
Praise God for the opening of hearts in this room, for the fact that the Holy Spirit is here. We are really fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters, and God is right in the middle. And praise God for that.
Oh, and happy Sabbath, my brother.
Happy Sabbath, my brother.
That sounds so good. When a brother can utter, because love is demonstrated with that saying to each other, you to me and I to you, we to him, him to God. It's a staircase. And I remember Jacob with the vision of the angels going up and down the stairway from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth. There are so many wonderful things that we can recall and rely on that makes the Bible such a great need to each and every one of us. When you reach to get a little inch of understanding, you yearn to share that little bit of understanding to everyone around you. So when we get together, each and every one of us should have something to say. How many of us are silent in our home church reunion every Sabbath? How many of us have the strength to come out and say to each other whatever is in their heart, which is also needed to be heard by each and every one of us, from each and every one of us?
Yeah. I have to say thank you and praise God for Elder Robert, for the amount of time and prayer that he puts into each Sabbath day and preparation day. And praise God that we have him in our midst and that God sent him to us, and we listen to God through a lot of his searches and time that he puts into it. Thank you, Elder Rob.
Amen. I also say with my twin, thank you, Brother Bob.
You're welcome, dear ones, but God gets all the praise and the thanks because I would know nothing without his wisdom. You were talking about the seed. And when you look at the seed, let's say it's a apple seed. When you look at the apple seed, a fully mature fruit producing tree is hidden within that seed. It's just a matter of time for that to become reality. But the seed itself did not have the power to create that fully mature apple seed or apple tree. And so someone who plants that seed, they didn't originate the seed. It was a gift from God. When they planted the seed, and they watered it, and the sun shone upon it, and the gravitational pull of the moon occurred upon it, the seed itself didn't germinate. The spark of life, that's what Ellen White says, the spark of life from God came to the seed and it germinated. So when you look at the seed itself, it's a gift from God. Its life was given to it by God at the proper time, and all along its growing period, God had to sustain it. He gave the sunshine, he gave the moisture from the ground, he gave the moon in its gravitational pull to bring the moisture up to the surface, or at least to the roots of the sprout. All along the way, God had to continue to shower blessings upon that seed so that it could fulfill the purpose for which he created it. To produce fruit for the benefit of others. It's the same with us. We didn't give ourselves life. God gave us life. If it was God's will, we never would have taken a breath when we were born. God allowed us to breathe. He gave us life. When conception occurred. So all along the way of our growing, we had to have God's blessings. Knowledge didn't originate with us. It comes from God. So we can be pleased that we allowed God to work through us to bring forth light of truth for the benefit of others. But we deserve no praise because everything we are comes from God. God deserves all the praise. That apple tree would not exist without the blessings of God. So God gets all the praise for the apples that are produced off that tree for the benefit of others. But a lot of times, the gardener or the harvester or the husbandman takes praise to themselves for their efforts put into obtaining a bountiful harvest. But the reason they had a bountiful harvest was only because of God's blessings. So they can be pleased with working together with God to bring about an abundant harvest. But God gets all the glory and the praise. And it's enough for us to share in that. It's like Christ mentioned in, I think it's Luke. He says, when the servant has done everything that his master requireth, the servant doesn't even deserve a thank you because he only did what was required. But God goes beyond that and he grants to us adoption into his very family, even though we're a servant. So God goes beyond and he rewards our faithfulness with adoption. He didn't have to, but because he loves us, he did. What an amazing love that is. Yeah, amen. Paul planted, established the foundation. Apollos watered or built upon that foundation, but it was God that gave the increase. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments?
I'm going to say something, dear brother, that is for those here, but also for those who may be listening. There's something that you had mentioned, and for whatever reason, it was quite the epiphany inside my brain. I don't know why. I've heard it time and time again, but it is about adoption. Having been adopted and not really knowing what is what, hearing that for whatever reason, I believe by God's grace, he just peeled that back in the moment for anyone who is dealing with anything like that. What a great adoption that is. To be adopted into the family of God by the Creator. To me, it really shatters so many things in realization of what was held on to, really. And I'm honestly saying that because when going through adoption, and it's not like, you know, in my case, adopted as a little baby. No, it was not for 9 years. So there are many things that you may go through. However, for this particular day, in this particular moment, by making that statement, the Lord in his mercy really just opened my eyes in a way that they had not really been concerning adoption into the house of God. I could not ask for a better father. I could not ask for a better brother. I could not ask for a better Holy Spirit for my life. And for any who are out there in any way that may be listening in, and that may be something that, you know, and I understand it's something to wrestle with, especially if you never really knew who was who at all. The adoption into the household of God by the Father and the Son who created us It is the best adoption you could ever, ever have. So we praise God for that. I praise God for that. And I encourage anyone who may be in that situation, was in that situation, or in any kind of way, even for those who just are not even sure what's what. God adopted you through Jesus Christ by his blood, and you accepted it. You are adopted into a royal family, not this earthly one. We may have to live here, but it is not our home, because our Heavenly Father, who adopted us, has a place for us. So I praise the living God for that, and I'm thankful that I heard that, and the Lord in his mercy really, I don't know what, but peeled that piece away that has been really just like a hanger-on kind of thing for decades. So I praise the living God for that, and again, I encourage anyone who's hearing it or will hear it, just hold on tight and grab your Heavenly Father and just enjoy and accept the love of God and don't let go. That's the thing. Don't let go.
Amen, my brother. Amen. Amen. Yes. The same feeling also comes to me hearing what you're saying. I can feel it. And if you feel it, then you'll be able to understand it. And if you get to understand it, then you yearn to keep it and keep it alive. Amen.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Reading the last sentence of the paragraph before, the golden oil of love flows freely to shine out again in good works, in real heartfelt service for God. Do you feel the golden oil of love in this room?
Yes, I do. I can't speak for no one else. Only me can speak from what I've learned of what love means and who gave us love. Says God is love. And if I believe this, which I honestly do, then I hope I never lose any part of it, neither with my brothers, nor my sister, nor my home church, nor my neighbors and friends. I will always try to keep that door open wherever needs is needed, that I will be like a firefighter, ready to go to the fire and save others.
And notice this passage here. It is the love of God continually transferred to man that enables him to impart light. Continually. That means all the time. So if we're filled with the love of God today, we can't keep that love of God in our heart for tomorrow and then use it up tomorrow. So what God gives us today, we need to use. Tomorrow, we need to go to God and ask for more, and he will give it to us. But we can't live tomorrow's life based on what we had imparted to us today. So God continually grants us his Spirit that fills us with the love of God and enables us to bring the light of truth, the light of God's love, the light of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ to others. And that has to be new every day. Yeah, amen. Fresh bread every day. The fresh bread of life, Jesus Christ. So that means we have to be connected with God each day. It's not enough to be connected with God today and then tomorrow not be. Because if you're not connected with God and receiving the golden oil, the love of God, then you're not going to be able to live. Your spiritual life is going to start to wither. Your spiritual strength is going to decrease. And you will not be able to impart light to others. So you may, tomorrow, you may speak the very same words that you spoke today, but they're not going to have the same impact upon others if you don't receive the golden oil for that day. So it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Then it's like the manna of the desert.
Amen. Amen. It was given new every morning, but the people had to individually go out and gather it for themselves. It's the same with us. We have to individually go to God and ask him for the golden oil of his love through the Spirit coming from Christ Jesus to fill our hearts, that we might be the light bearer for today. And then tomorrow we have to do the same thing. That means we grow every day. We just don't grow one day and then take a week off, you know. We have to grow every day, and the only way to grow is to go to the source of life.
I have a question. Could you give me the symbolic meaning of the olive
You mean an olive fruit or an olive tree?
Well, I would say the entity of the olive tree, then, that gives the olive fruit. What is the symbolic meaning of this scripture?
Yeah, from Zechariah, the two olive trees on either side. The symbolic meaning of the two olive trees, not just one, but two, represents the method in which oil can be achieved from the fruit of that tree. And the product of that tree growing, producing fruit was so olive oil could be harvested from the fruit. So you have the oil coming from the olive that came from the tree that was established on either side of the throne of God. That would be the oil of God's love through the Spirit being manifested in the prophets of the Old Testament and in the prophets and apostles of the New Testament. So the Old Testament is on one side of the throne, the New Testament is on the other side. And the whole reason the symbology of the olive tree was used there is the golden oil that came from those trees represented the Holy Spirit being produced or shining through or emanating through the Old and the New Testament, bringing that energy or that ability to allow others to receive the oil and in turn be able to impart light. So the Spirit inspired holy men and women of old to write out the inspired words of God. The Old and the New Testament reveals the oil of the love of God, that golden oil that each lamp was to partake of in order for the end result to be light that is continually shining. So the oil through the Spirit, through the Word of God, comes into our hearts and enables us in the end to shine light to others. So what's interesting, each of us can shine for God if we go to Him for the golden oil of love. Now in the sanctuary, there was only a limited number of lights, but in salvation terms, it's however many individuals decide to accept Christ as their Savior and plead for God to send them the Holy Spirit each day so that they can be filled with the love of God and shine forth Jesus to others. Whosoever will can partake of the life in Christ Jesus. So that means without the Holy Spirit, there is no possible way for us to shine. No possible way.
Okay, boy.
Go ahead, brother. So without the Holy Spirit, there's no possible way for us to shine. There's no possible way for us to be filled with the love of God. There's no possible way for us to know the truth, to understand the truth, to be able to recall the truth. And without the Old and the New Testament, there's no way that we can be able to live for God. So praise God for the Old and the New Testament. Praise God for the Holy Spirit inspiring holy men and women of old. And thank you, dear Spirit, for coming to us when we ask and filling us with the love of God and enabling us to shine. I think you can see why the devil is so determined to get individuals to believe that there is no Holy Spirit. If we deny that the Holy Spirit exists, then we're denying the only way that we can receive the gospel and be transformed by it. Knowledge is not enough. It has to be effectual in our lives. And the only God that can do that is the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this next paragraph. In the great and measureless gift of the Holy Spirit are contained all of heaven's resources. It is not because of any restriction on the part of God that the riches of His grace do not flow earthward to men. If all were willing to receive, all would be filled with His Spirit. So in the Holy Spirit are contained all of heaven's resources. So without the Holy Spirit, we would not have any of heaven's resources. We wouldn't have any grace. We wouldn't have any knowledge. We wouldn't have any wisdom. We wouldn't have any power, any strength, any life. So the Holy Spirit brings all of heaven's blessings to us. But if we deny that there is a Holy Spirit, then we've denied the only way for us to have all of heaven's resources. And the devil knows that. And that's why he's getting individuals to believe that there is no such entity as God the Holy Spirit. And those who deny that the Holy Spirit exists are denying salvation to themselves. Yeah, go ahead, dear brother.
Thank you so much. On this topic, I am wondering, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like childlike wondering, I guess, but I'm wondering just the same. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, how do we really receive it? The Word of God says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Okay, I agree with that. I have faith in that. However, I am wondering, can a person really know that they have the Holy Spirit and that it is growing in them and not just stagnating or being grieved away? Because from my very limited understanding, it's kind of like the wind. You don't really know where it's coming from sometimes, and you don't really know where it's going to. And within us, is it that way also? We don't know if we have it. We don't know if it's gone. We are not sure how it goes. I mean, I guess, you know, forgive my immaturity, but I am kind of wondering about that, for I desire to have much more of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that any believer and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ would want more of the Holy Spirit so that we can do what the Lord really wants us to be doing. So what stops us from getting more of the Holy Spirit, even when we're asking? I know that's a lot to talk about, but it's really important.
Well, it takes self-examination to know, because we're told that the office work of the Spirit is to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. Okay. So we can see that the fruits of the Spirit are this and this. We can see the work of the Spirit is this and this. So then we need to examine ourselves to see if those things are occurring within us. Are we being convicted of sin, whether before it happens or after it occurs? Well, then we know we have the Spirit there convicting us. Are we being encouraged or urged forward to be more holy and righteous and just in our lives? If so, then we know that the Spirit is convicting us of righteousness to encourage us to be more like Christ. Are we seeing that we're becoming more loving, we're becoming more joyful, we're becoming more long-suffering? Well, then that's evidence that the fruits of the Spirit are being made a part of us, which means that we're growing more into Christ. So to know whether we have the Spirit or not, we have to examine ourselves and see if we're growing. If we are, it's only because of the Spirit working within us. So, you know, that's something that I can't do for you. That's something we all have to do for ourselves. And if you see that you're growing, then more praise can go to God for sending you the great and measureless gift of the Holy Spirit to bring this transforming power into your life. And more gratefulness means more happiness, right? More joyfulness. So it's a continual day by day sanctification. And that's only possible because the Spirit is working in your life. But notice it says here, if everyone was willing to receive, all would become filled with his Spirit. So there's an action, a decision involved in receiving. You just don't automatically have because God gives. You have to receive the gift. You have to be willing to allow the Spirit to work within you and to change you. The Spirit was working on the heart of Paul well, Saul, was working on the heart of Saul, but he was kicking against the Spirit. He wasn't receiving the Spirit. And so finally Christ said, I have to go to Saul myself. And he came. And you remember what he says, who art thou, Lord? You know, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Well, the pricking of the Spirit was trying to reach Saul and get him to understand that he was not in the right way, not following the right path. He was misunderstanding. But instead of receiving the Spirit, he was kicking it away. I have to remain a Pharisee. I have to persecute this movement to the end. And finally, out of great merciful compassion and love, Christ himself came to Saul. And then Saul no longer kicked the Spirit away. He willingly received him. And look at the change that happened in Paul's life. So we have to receive, not just ask, we have to receive the Spirit. And if we do, there will be a change in our character. But any other thoughts or comments in answers to our dear brother's question, please feel free.
So then, if we are hearing, we're going about our day, decisions are coming up, and we hear, don't do that, or it's better to do this, and we ignore it, when we hear it, is that the same in a way like, yes, we're hearing the Holy Spirit, yet the Holy Spirit, from my understanding, speaks on behalf of Christ himself. So then, is that like we're listening to the Lord, then also we're obeying God or disobeying God when we do or don't do what we should do? I just kind of wonder, because in prayer or in our busyness of life, we may talk and be wanting to talk to God, and we hear a word come back. If it lines up with the word, then it can be said that we are hearing the Lord talk to us. And if we don't do that, then we're ignoring the Lord talking to us. And if we continue to listen and obey, then that is what strengthens us and fills us more with the Holy Spirit. It's a thought.
Yeah, understand. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, so much blessings to all of you. Can I say we are sharing a very important topic where many of our brothers and sisters have not so much known. But we must note from the very beginning that the Holy Spirit is seen in every essence of the salvation and the creation of everything. Like you can see in the very beginning when God created the heaven and the earth, then the Holy Spirit moved on top of the surface, and everything we can see was seen. Then when man sinned and the plan of salvation is devised, mighty work is just seen by the greater efforts of the Holy Spirit. And in it, for you to measure yourself next to salvation, you see the fruits of what the Holy Spirit does in you to change, to manifest love, peace, joy, happiness, and everything new, and it's upon those factors, then people will say that this sister, this brother is really a Christian. So whoever undermines the deity, the existence of the Holy Spirit, denies the whole creation program, denies the whole salvation program, and indeed he will be denying the existence of the divinity, the existence of the Almighty God who created the heaven and the earth through Elohim. So, Dionys, we see that we shall be saved by his grace through the mighty working of the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus said, whoever, you can annoy anything on the in this universe, but whoever grieves the Holy Spirit, then no forgiveness. Because the efforts he died to make everybody be fitted for salvation, be fitted for heaven, is really tremendous and unmeasurable. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, then, and you're denying, then I doubt which kind of Christianity are you practicing. In essence, you are just lost from the whole essence of knowing what God wants you to have for eternal life and to live forever. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Great point. When Elijah had stood for God on Mount Carmel, and God manifested in very great practical detail that he was the living God and Baal was false, and the 400 prophets and 450 priests. Anyway, when all those that were directly connected with Baal were slain, and Elijah had led the king's chariot through the heavy downpour all the way to the gates of the city, he then fled for his life because Jezebel said she would kill him by the next morning. And Elijah went 40 days into the wilderness, as far away from the threat of death as he could get. And God sustained him with two meals. Can you imagine going 40 days march into the wilderness on just two meals? So Elijah gets to a cave, and he's there in the cave, and then he hears the voice of God call him out, so he's standing at the entrance of the cave. And then there's some mighty tempests, and there's fire, and there's earthquakes, and Elijah's just standing there, witnessing this great, loud spectacles. And then he hears a still, small voice. And he immediately drops to his knees and puts his face to the ground. So God wasn't manifesting himself in all these great, marvelous displays. He was manifesting himself in a very still, calm, subdued voice. So when the Spirit comes to us, it's not in a very great spectacle of outward display. It's in a very calm manner. And so we have to be in a position to recognize a calm voice while we're going through emotional upheaval. And that is very difficult to do. But when you do hear that small voice, it might not be the spirit. It could be your own mind, or it could be the devil whispering to you. So how do you know if it's really the spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it? You have to test the spirit. And the only true test of whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you or yourself speaking to you or the devil speaking to you is to the law and to the testimony. If they don't agree, then there is no light in them. So if the Spirit is saying, don't do that, test it by God's word. Test it by the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. If it agrees, well, then you know it's the spirit. If it doesn't agree, well, then you know it's not the spirit of God. There's a doctrinal theory that's been around for decades. And that is, if you prayed to God to shut the devil out of your heart, then God's done that. And so the devil's no longer there. Whatever impression comes to you has to be from God, so you need to follow it. Without question. Because you've asked God to shut the devil out of your heart, so the devil shut out of your heart. And now you're directly connected with God, and everything you're impressed with has to be from God. There's individuals who act on every single impression that comes to their mind, believing that it's from God. And they have been led into very, very fanatical ways. So we can't just accept that every inspiration or every impression or every word that we hear, not literally, right, but every word that comes into our mind, we can't just accept that it's from God. We have to test it. The Spirit is always going to agree with the inspired word because the Spirit inspired the word to be written out. But the devil's not going to agree with it. And your own carnal nature is not going to agree with it. That's why you have to test. And that's where this receiving the Spirit comes in. If you're tempted to be angry and then to yell or throw things or slam doors or whatever, you know that's not what a Christian would do. And if the Spirit is there saying, don't do that, be like Christ. Don't give in to your anger. Don't give in to the manifestation of your anger. Don't be impatient. Test it. Does the Bible say that Christians are long-suffering? They're patient? Yes. Well, then you know the Spirit is telling you, don't do this. Receive me, and I'll give you all the divine power and the comfort, the grace to change. So the Spirit's being offered, and he's bringing all the great and measureless gifts with him all of heaven's resources to keep you calm. But you have to receive him. That means you need to listen. That means you need to examine and then make a choice. But so often we've developed the habit that if we're angry, we vent it. There's no chance to listen. There's no chance to examine. There's no chance to receive because we've shut the door. We need to keep that door open. And God can help you if you're willing to receive. So praise God for the Holy Spirit and praise his name for giving us the Spirit as a gift without money and without price. You have to ask though, and you have to receive, accept, and then what a change will be made in your life. Well, next time we'll pick it up at this next paragraph that starts out, it is the privilege of every soul. We'll find out more what that's referring to. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for these words of wisdom and Spirit. Please bury them in our hearts so we remember them. And thank you so much for loving us and caring for us and all the blessings you send to us. Be with each one of us and enlighten our hearts with your love. And go with us into the next sermon. Send the Holy Spirit to help us understand and to take it into our hearts. Most of all, thank you for Jesus, who made the way possible for us to be adopted into your family and have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us take a 12-minute break and then return back here at 12:25 Pacific time or 3:25 Eastern for our main church service.